Okay, so we're up to Kina Zion. Kina Zion is on. Kerabai Sai, Kina Zion, page 158. Kerabai Sai, page 158, Kina Zion. How were you so quick in your anger to destroy in the hands of the Adoimim Edoim Emunecha, your people of faith, referring to Klal Yisrael? This kina is an incredible. The Kalir wrote that during the day, the first 15 kinois of the day were written by the Kalir, Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir. At least the first 15, then there's a break, and then we come back to Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir further. Most of the kinois were written by Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, certainly the ones before the tzioins. The tzioins were not. When we get to the tzioins, those were written by different people, but these were, most of them were by the Kalir, and here he demonstrates his extraordinary command of the language. There are 22 stanzas, and each one, he for the first half, he uses words from the letter, that's one, there are 11. There are 11 lines. There are 11 lines, and the first half of each stanza, he uses a word from the Aleph base. Like, and look at the first line. Echa, well, Echa is the same. Atzta, Apecha, Abed, Adoimim, Emunecha. Then we come to the bases. Bris, Bein, Besarim, Beirarta, Vichunecha. And so on and so forth. He does throughout the entire kina, going through all of the letters of the Aleph Beis, and he demonstrates this incredible command of bringing out an idea, expressing an idea. The first is an idea of frustration and tsar. And this first line simply means, why are Kadosh Baruch Hu so quick? Why did you not show some more patience in dealing with Klal Yisrael? Why did you allow the Edom, the nation of Edom, Esav, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and you do not remember the Bris Bein HaBesarim, which you have selected for the ones to whom you have tested. That's a reference to Avraham Avinu, who was tested with the 10 Nisyonos. He was the recipient of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, which guaranteed the Klal Yisrael would continue to exist. And what's interesting about this kina is
also predicted the Golios.
The Bris Bein HaBesarim also did predict, correct, that there would be the Dal of Malchias. That's a drasha. That in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, the different animals and the sequence of events was a reference to the Dal of Malchias, correct. But on a simple level, the Psha level, the Bris Bein HaBesarim meant that Klal Yisrael would be Hashem's chosen nation, and under no condition would he exchange us for another nation or give up on us. And from the Churban, it would appear to an observer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in violation of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Now, we know, of course, that's not true because we're still here today. But to the observer, it would appear to be like that. Now, there are a lot of things going on here in this kina. Number one, this kina is the only kina that every single stanza begins with the word Echa. There is no kin, all the kinas where the word Echa appears so many times. There's a very strong emphasis on the word Echa. Number two, we have here the theme of Veloy Zochart, that we're complaining to Hashem that he does not remember. On Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Nusach HaTzila, we emphasize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zoicher Kol HaNishkochas. Not only does Hashem remember, he remembers all of the things that seemingly Hashem would forget. And here we're complaining that you don't remember the obvious. You're having trouble, Hashem. Not only have you forgotten the nishkachos, you don't remember the obvious. These are all very obvious things that we're going to, that are mentioned over here in this kina. You don't remember the Bris Bein HaBesarim. You did not remember the Kfitzas Haderech when we traveled. This week's parasha. What? That's the problem, the contrast. That's the problem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Zoicher, even the Nishkochos, so Al Achas, Kama V'Kama, he should remember the obvious things that are not Nishkoch. The Bris Bein HaBesarim is not forgotten. Everyone knows about the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And yet, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed there to be a Golus would seem to indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgot even about the obvious things. So we focus on this idea called the idea of Zichira, and on the word Echa, and we go through all the letters of the Aleph base. Now, Now there is one other Indian which I really, which I used to really dwell upon, and that is what really attracts me the most about this kina, is in each one of these 11 stanzas, it concludes with a different expression of dibur. We discussed this many times in the shir, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, the creation of man is defined in his koyach hadibur. Vayipach be'apav nishmas chaim. That was the moment of truth, when man came into existence. And the Targum says, and Pasuk says, Vayihi ha'odam lenefesh chaya, Hashem blew the spirit of life into the nostrils of man, and man came to life. And the Targum says, what does it mean, nefesh chaya? Leruach mimalila, a creature that speaks. And in fact, we learned last Friday, we said that the last mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael at the end of the Torah, at the end of Bamidbar, which was the mitzvah midin nevuah, av ha-neviim, that's unique to Chumash Devarim, was the mitzvah of nidorim. Ish ki yidor neder la-Hashem, the koyach ha-dibur. The koyach ha-dibur is not just a tool to communicate. The koyach ha-dibur is sacred. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's last mitzvah to Klal Yisrael midin Moshe as the Av HaNeviim. That Dibur was the beginning of the Torah, and Dibur is the end of the Torah. The Koyach HaDibur is a tool of communication, but it's also something sacred where a person makes a commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his Dibur, and he must keep his word. So here in this kina, we pull out of the bag every form of dibur to beg Hashem to bring about restoration, salvation for Klal Yisrael. We're using the tool of life in this kina. We're using v'chein botinu, uv'chein dibarnu, uv'chein v'koinanu, uv'chein chivinu, uv'chein yolalnu, uv'chein lohagnu, uv'chein nohinu, uvechein oninu, uvechein tsoaknu, uvechein roganinu, uvechein toaninu. And then the very ending goes, roganti. No, one more word, he's not really finished. The truth is, that's really repetition, because that's really winding down that word he used before. But it's beautiful. It's very, very powerful how he takes this koyach of dibur, which is the unique koyach of man, against the unique koyach of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what I wanted to try to bring out. The Ribbono Shel Olam, what is unique about the Ribbono Shel Olam relative to man? We know that Hashem is infinite. That's a given. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzem himself in order that we can connect to Hashem. That's the way Hashem made the world. Hashem is beyond comprehension. But yet we relate to him. And that is called the koyach of Tzimtzum. Hashem miniaturizes himself, kaviyachol, so we can, us human little nothings, can have some connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we try to imitate Hashem. But there are certain things that Hashem was not mitzamtzem. What is the koyach that Hashem was not mitzamtzem when he allows us to relate to him? Hashem never forgets. Hashem never forgets. Zoicher kol hanishkachos. A human being forgets. If a human being would not forget, he would die, because it would kill him. Part of being human is to forget. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's mitzamtzem himself to us, so we can relate to him. Mahu rachum, afata te rachum. Mahu chanun, afata. Hashem is loivesh the arumim. We have to do that. Hashem does chesed. We imitate Hashem. Hashem was mitzamtzem himself. But Hashem was never mitzamtzem the koyach of zikoroin, of remembering. Zoicher kol hanishkachas. A human being by nature forgets. What is unique about us? That is the koyach, the essence of man, the uniqueness of man, the koyach hadibur. Vayehi ha'odam lenefesh chaya leruach mimalila. So look at this beautiful contrast. We say we use what's unique about us to have complaints to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you did not even you did not make use of what's unique about you. What is unique about the Ribbono Shel Olam relative to man? That man has no shayachus to you. Zikaron, zeicher kol hanishkachas. That's unique about you, Ribbono Shel Olam. What's unique about us? The koyach adibur. That's what Hashem gave us. Hashem gave man ruach mamalla. So we use every single expression, and also that's the nature of the kina. The kina over here is, the whole nature of the kina is language. Because the kalir is taking all the letters of the alphabet and is going into the dictionary and pulling out every word that begins with a certain letter, puts it together to show the sophistication of the koyach adibur. We are people of dibur. This is our essence. Your essence, Hashem, is zikaron. And if you would have utilized your koyach of zikaron, it never would have been a churban. Because if it was in front of your eyes, the bris ben habasarim, matan Torah, kfitzas aderech, it was in front of your eyes, the various tzaddikim. What other examples we have over here? There are many different examples, all the different things that we which we refer to. All of these things you did not remember. That is what's taking place in this kina. The contrast of the uniqueness of man versus the uniqueness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The uniqueness of man is defined in Dibor. The whole kina is an expression, a sophisticated demonstration of man's koyach of Dibor, to use all the words in a sophisticated way based upon the letters of the Aleph Beis, to speak to Hashem, and we use every single type of expression we utilize to speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we say, we're doing our job, but you're not doing your job because you forgot. Yeah.
The fact that Eicha
precedes it. Aleph Beis, yeah.
How could you forget?
Eicha, right. It's all the questions. It's also part. The Eicha goes back to V'loi Zocharta. How could it be that you did not remember?
How could you forget?
How could you forget? Being that it's unique to you. And we're going to rub it in by doing this in a way, making use of what's unique to us. If we are utilizing our unique gift, how much more so should you, Hashem, utilize your unique gift, your unique koyach? Okay, that's kina vav, kina ches. Kina ches is a'ade ad chug ha'shamayim. If only I could soar to the chug, the sphere of heaven. A'al ite shamayim. If I could only rise to heaven, I would awaken the heavens to cry together with me over the churban beis hamikdash, or I would curse yom the day macharivi fa'amayim. I would curse this day which I was destroyed twice. Es oinein, I would lament mi yitein reishimayim. If only mine. What is a very difficult concept, the translation of these words? Mi yitein reishimayim. The one who wrote said these words was Yirmiyah, and the simple interpretation means if only my head was full of water, and I would cry, the tears would drain from my head, would be enormous. If my entire head would be filled with water, then the amount of tears that would gush from my head would go on for a very, very long time. This is what Yirmiyah said. Now, there's a much deeper interpretation to what this means, and that is, Yirmiyah, the theme of this kina, to a large degree, is if only, it's almost like a sickness. Today a psychologist would tell you, don't go there, don't do this. They would not. I wonder what a psychologist would say about this kina. Basically, if we could only go back in time and start all over again. How many times in life do you make mistakes and it bothers you, and in your mind you go through this infinite cycle, I wish I can go back in time and not make that mistake. Not do that foolish thing, not invest in this stock, and not take this job, and not do this, and not do that. It's something that's very unhealthy. You cannot go back into the past. Masha hoya, kevar hoya. Get over with it. Go forward. There's only one way to go. But yet, it does not prevent a person from imagining what life would have been like had you been able to go back into the past and not made that thing that you think was a foolish mistake. That is really what we're doing over here, is mi yitein roshi. What does it mean, roshi? Roshi means my beginning. Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year. Hold on. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year. And Mayim is the beginning of creation. Bereishis bara Elokei beis ha'ashamayim ve'eis ha'aretz. Ha'aretz ha'aretz ha'asohu v'vo v'choshech al p'nei sohoim. Ruach Elokim merachefes al p'nei ha'moyim. Maise Bereishis begins with us being told that the Shechina was hovering over the Mayim. And later, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Mavdil between the Mayim, Elyoinim, Mayim Tachtoinim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shamayim Oretz. A deeper interpretation of Es Oinein, I complain, I lament, I mourn, Mi Yitein, if only Roishi, my starting point can be Mayim, back at the very, very beginning of creation, when there was nothing in this world other than Mayim. The Shechina of Hashem was hovering over the Mayim. If I only can make Roishi, my beginning can also be taken back to that moment in time when there was no chet, Adam did not yet sin, and I certainly did not sin, and all of the problems that came into this world did not yet happen, and we can start all over again, knowing the consequences, the ramifications of rebelling against Hashem, what it brings about, and this time we'll do it right, and we would not find ourselves in such a desperate situation. And to a certain degree, that's exactly what's going on over here in this entire kino, where the person over here is going through enormous torment. Look at the word, the next paragraph is Avchen b'dchi lel midbar, Evchano, I would differentiate lel milel. We're going back into the past and we are fantasizing. I would differentiate this night from that night, midbar mi midbar, avat iti olas midbar. We're going back in time. And we're studying history in hindsight, imagining we would not make the same mistakes and fall into the same into the trap, and the goals would come about. Like I told you, this is not a very healthy thing, because today you can't do that. You can't go back. You cannot go back into the past and change the world of reality. Ma'asha hoya kfar hoya. But yet, in a way of expressing grief and pain for the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it works wonders. It opens up a person's mind to feel the grief of what life could have been like, how much better things would have been had we not rebelled and sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's what pretty much is the basic thing of this idea, is a certain type of intensity of fascinating, of fantasizing. Fantasizing what the world would have been like if we had not sinned. Yeah?
Fantasizing or obsessing?
What?
Obsessing?
Obsessing, yeah. You're obsessing with the past. That's all about the past. The past is not only, that's not only from obsession, yeah.
Don't we encourage people to regret what they did in the past?
Regret is not the same thing as obsessing about the past. Like Michal said, there's regret, but the focus of regret is to go forward. I made a mistake, but I'm not in agony. I go forward. I made it. I'm not going to repeat my mistake. But obsessing about the past, it's different. If you're not going full, you're not going anywhere. You're just stuck where you are. I'm not going to change anything. This is the way it is. I'm locked into a certain type of life and situation, and there's nothing I can do. And I think about the past. If only I would have not made these mistakes, everything in life would have been different. Obsessing with the past. That's exactly what the Mekoinen here is doing. It's a personal frustration of obsessing with the past. Psychologists will not be happy with this, Kina.
But we can also learn, right? First, you have to acknowledge what you did wrong.
What? You have to acknowledge, of course. It's a matter of focus. Anyone who ever experienced this knows what I'm talking about. So Baruch Hashem, people who ask me this question, they don't know what it's like to make big mistakes in life. People who make, you always learn from your mistakes. There's no question. Big deal. I made a mistake. I lost some money. Big deal. I learned from my mistake and I go forward. It does not hold me back from a healthy approach to going forward in life. But there are people who are sitting in the office of a psychologist and a psychiatrist taking medication, they can't go forward in life. They just don't have the will. the desire to move forward in life because they're so distraught over the mistakes they've made in the past, they're just stuck in the past.
Stagnant.
That is a sickness. It's viewed today in society as a sickness, which needs professional help. This kina, we're dealing here with an individual. An individual is expressing enormous, enormous grief. And every line of the grief that he's expressing, the way the words are written, are as if you're just obsessing. You're obsessing and you're fantasizing, wow, if I can go back and I wouldn't have done this, it would have been like this. So forget about it. Just move on. Focus on the future. A rosy future of not doing averos. It's not what the Baal HaKina is doing here. He's stuck in the past. When you are reciting a kina, it may very well be that it's an appropriate thing to do. Because a kina is something where you have to express sadness. When we finish this kina, we go on to later kinas, then we will have a fresh outlook on life, we'll go forward. But now, for the moment, we indeed want to employ this type of approach of obsessing about the past, because it works. It brings about quite a bit of grief. It really works well to bring about grief. And on Tisha B'Av, we do want to feel the grief. We have to wake ourselves up. So maybe for a few moments, we should be obsessed over the past and get stuck in the past for a few moments. Later in the day, we have to pick ourselves up and go forward and forget about the past. There's a time and place for everything in life. Let's go to Kina Tess. Yeah. Kina Tess. Kina, one thing I left out, very, very important words at the end of this Kina. Okay, and that is Yalusi Le'ezra Sitarti Chazois, my strength. It's towards the end of Kina Ches. Okay, let me see if I can find what your Kina is. What are you using? Yalusi Le'ezra Sitarti, because it's on page 164 in the middle of the page. Yalusi Le'ezra Si. Yalusi means my strength. It's a code word for Hashem. Le'ezra Si, who comes to my, that he should come to my assistance. Tarti, I yearn chazois to see. In other words, the line means I can't wait until the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to my aid. I'm waiting every single day. Achakelei b'chol yom sheyavai. Ayumasi, my nation, b'chol shana, every single year, oimeres. Again, obsessing with the past. Going back into the past. Every single year, my nation, they're obsessing. Oimeres, they say, he hashana chazois. This is the year that Moshiach will come. Ayada lakol ki muda hazos. I will make known indeed when Hashem, when Moshiach comes, I'm going to be the first one to inform everyone. I'll be so excited. I'll send out a text, WhatsApp, telephone calls. I'll go out into the world and inform everyone Moshiach is here. And then he concludes with his last powerful words, Imlo. One thing is for certain. The word Imlo normally means it's a shvua. You make a shvua, kiyad Hashem osis azos. Mashiach can only come through the koyach of Hashem. Okay, this is a very controversial type of a statement. Is what exactly do we need to do to bring Mashiach? For example, let us say today everyone here in the entire world is on the same page and we all like a certain person. We all look up to a certain leader. There's a certain gadol in Klal Yisrael. Everyone loves him. It doesn't matter what your affiliation is. Everyone is enamored with this person. And we all want him to be the Melech HaMashiach. And we all vote. And we all he's going to be the Melech HaMashiach. Is that enough? Do we need something divine to happen in this world as a signal that Mashiach is here? Does Mashiach have to come out of Shemayim on a white donkey? Do we need that to happen? Or can we bring Mashiach al derech ha-teva and hope at some point in time the Eish Menash Shemayim will come down to this world? This is a very complicated sugya. It's not clear what it is, how it works. Some want to argue, I'm not saying this in a negative way, chas v'shalom. I'm really not. Some want to argue that Lubavitch, their approach is you do not need Mashiach to come out of heaven on a white donkey. You don't need it. If you have a person who fulfills everything that is required of Mashiach, as is listed in the Rambam, and everyone is enamored with his koyach, his power, his influence, and his abilities, the whole Klal Yisrael can vote that this person is roy to be Mashiach, and let him be. Let him lead us. Let us give him power. It doesn't have to happen. You need miracles. You need miracles to come out of Shemayim. That's an approach. And there are people who strongly disagree. They don't want that. They don't believe in that. They believe that it has to be something divine. And this line here is a very interesting expression. The Kalir was a very holy person, and he talks about the coming of Mashiach. Everything he writes about the coming of Mashiach has to be taken very, very seriously. And he writes here that my nation every single year says, this is going to be the year. Ayada la kol ki muda hazos, I shall make its coming known to the entire world. Imloy. But one thing I swear, ki yad Hashem, it has to be the Yad Hashem that's osis azos that brings this about. So what does it mean, the Yad Hashem? What's the Yad Hashem? On a very simplistic level, it means divine that we all acknowledge is lamala miderech hateva. But is that really what it means? I don't know. Okay, one of the last things I want to mention, and I've mentioned very, very important about this kina, everything begins with an aleph, a mem, and a nun. Okay, when we start this kina, look at the first line. Es oinein mi yitein reishimayim. Going back to the beginning of the kina on page 162, on the left side, in the refrain, where it says, Es oinein, I would lament, mi yitein, if only reishi, my head, mayim, would be filled with water, so that I have an unlimited supply of tears. The first word is an aleph. The second word is mi, which is a mem. And then we always end off with a syllable, yitain, the last letter of the word yitain is a nun. What does aleph, mem, nun spell? Amen. Amen means kel melech neman. Hashem is a God of faith. Kel melech neman. And that pattern continues throughout. If you look at the second paragraph, Eshag mi yitneni vamidbar. So you have the aleph, Eshag. The mem is mi. They're not highlighting this in the art scroll, but it's the mem. And then yitneni, the nun, is again the nun. So it's aleph, mem, nun. Amen. And this goes down consistently. You always have those three syllables, aleph, mem, nun. There is one exception in the skina where it doesn't fit. But otherwise, it's always going to be there. There's always going to be that nun, that sound. Why? So what's happening over here is, as maybe this is the answer to the psychologist. The person over here is not really mentally ill. Because as he obsesses with the past, he ignites matzik olav esadeh. He says, Amen. Kel melech neman. Things happen for a reason. Hashem is faithful. There's a solution. Reciting the word Amen, Kel Melech Nam, is a very holy, noble, powerful, powerful idea. So while we lament and we express our frustration, at the same time, we conclude with Amen. Kel Melech Nam, an acknowledgement that Hashem's ways are just. Okay, so let's review. Kineches, what we're doing over here, we're suggesting, the first thing we want to suggest is when it says, Es oinein mi yitein reishimayim, that really sets the tone for the entire kina. It simply means, if only my head was filled with water, so that I would have an unlimited supply of tears. On a deeper level, it means, if only my reishi, the beginning of my existence, can be at the same time mayim, when the world was nothing but water. In other words, if only I can go back to the very beginning and start all over, knowing the consequences of sinning against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that I would not repeat my mistakes. That is the theme of this kina. If only we can start all over again and not make the same mistakes. As we say this, we're always acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just Kel Melech Neman. Amen. And the end of the Kina is a very important line. Where the Kalir expresses, they can acknowledge that throughout the generations, the nation always thinks that Mashiach is coming in this year. Unfortunately, every year goes by, Mashiach has not yet come, there's something wrong. And then he goes on to say that when Mashiach comes, certainly we'll be very excited, but we also have to recognize Imloi in Chazal always means a Shvu, I take an oath. I take a Shavua that Mashiach can only come through the Yad Hashem. Now, what is called the Yad Hashem? Does the Yad Hashem manifest itself al derech hateva? Maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe the Yad Hashem means something that's supernatural, lemala miderech hateva. But one thing is for certain, the Kalir says, Imloi, I swear to you, ki Yad Hashem osis azos. It's the Yad Hashem that brings Mashiach. It's not an ordinary event. It's not just a political event, something which can be explained on the Derech HaTeva. There has to be a revelation, a degree of recognition that what's happening to bring Mashiach is the Yad Hashem. If you don't see the Yad Hashem, you see some type of political event, some type of situation where things come together. And this is just Derech HaTeva. This is just the way the world goes around. Oh, and now Mashiach is coming from this? That's not Mashiach. Mashiach has to be the Yad Hashem Osis Azos, and he makes a Shavua to this effect. And again, what we do not know is what exactly is the precise meaning of the Yad Hashem. How does the Yad Hashem manifest itself in this Olam HaTeva? Now we go to Kina Tes. Kina Tes is the Kina that focuses upon the Toichacha. Toichacha. It's a very frightening series of sukkim. We know that we learn the Teichacha, we learn it low, and we learn it a little, the pace is a bit hurried. We do not want to dwell on the Teichacha, and the Teichacha begins with brachas. That's the silver lining of the Teichacha. Before we come into the harsh curses, there are beautiful, beautiful brachas. So here the Kalir, very cleverly, he takes the brachas and he turns them around. And he says, instead of the bracha, we got klalos. And then when he gets to the klalos, he acknowledges we got all the klalos. So he's using the Teichacha in a certain way even worse than the Teichacha itself. In the Teichacha, we focus on the klalos. Fine, but before the Teichacha, they are beautiful brachas. The person who gets the aliyah for the Teichacha, you know, he gets beautiful brachas. Some of the most beautiful brachas in the Torah are the brachas that precede the Teichacha. So it's not, there's always a silver lining. But here the Kalir, he says, he takes the brachas and his mahapech, even the brachas leklala. Look at the first line. Echos sefarti merosh osai hishli. How could it be that my splendor from my head has been cast down? Uchenegit kisi kavoid hakavoid selim uli. How could it be that our glory, the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. Okay, that's our glory. It has been taken off our head. The pride and joy of Klal Yisrael was the Beis HaMikdash. It's been thrown off our head. And to the degree where they even put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim at Salem. Now here's B'chalalam, when the Jewish people profaned, Tanai, the condition, Asher Chozai Nim Lochu, my prophets advised. Nim Lochu means to speak. You know why this happened? My prophet, the tzaddikim, they told Klal Yisrael, do not rebel against Hashem. The people view their words as chulin, mundane, meaningless. They ignored the conditions, the instructions of the prophets. Vinam, and Hashem declared, Im bichukosai teilechu. I told you to go in my ways, and you lahachis did not go. You lahachis did not go in my ways. In other words, this is a connection to the Nevi'im. Mm-hmm. The prophets told us over in the name of Hashem, im bichukosai teilechu. If you will go in the ways of Torah, you will merit blessing. But we, what did we do? We took the words in Bichukosai Teilechu, and Lahachis, we did just the opposite. We chose not to go in the ways of Hashem. We ignored the words of the Navi. We put a tselem in the Hechel. And the glory of Klal Yisrael we threw it down from on top of our heads. When the Torah told us you'll have bracha, im b'chukosai teilechu, we took that bracha, that instruction, we ignored it, and adarabah, we took it, we did just the opposite of what we were told to do. Okay, so this is the general theme that goes through the Toicha, goes through the last parts of the refrain is always from a pasuk in the Toicha, and it goes on for a while. There's one thing I want to point out, and this comes out over and over again, is that the more you study the Akinas, the more you're going to discover Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Toichacha, Rashi says, Im b'chikosai teilechu, im yihyu amelim b'toira. The beginning of this Akina focuses on the word b'chikosai, which Rashi there explains does not simply mean you shall observe the mitzvahs. Rashi is Takash, it says elsewhere, it says the pasuk before, the pasuk after, that you shall observe Hashem's mitzvahs. So Rashi, by process of elimination, by process of trying to understand the Pshuto Shel Mikra, tells us that the Pshuto Shel Mikra of Im B'chukosai Teilechu means to be omel in the study of Torah. The same theme as the Haftorah. Haftorah says, Almo of the Oretz, and the answer is al ozvu es toirasi sheloi beruchoi ba Torah tchila. Torah, the study of Torah, was not a priority amongst Klal Yisrael at the time of the Churban. And here we are focusing specifically on that parat, because the mitzvah of im b'chukosai teilechu, Rashi on this pasuk says it means to be omel in the study of Torah. And here we are acknowledging from the outset that we are in violation of this command, and Mimela, everything that follows from this parsha, including the Teichacha, is deserving, because we did not focus on the Torah, which was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, let's go to the next kina, kina yod. Kina yod is Eishvoi Eicha Yoshua Chavatzelos HaSharoin, the rose of Sharoin. The rose of Sharoin is a code word for the Kohanim. Now, there's a whole lot of midrashim. What exactly is the rose of Sharoin? I don't think we really know what it is, because the Medrash says it has 13 petals. It's not easy today to find a rose today that has 13 petals. The Medrash is 13, and this rose has 13 petals, which means it refers to the Midas HaRachamim, the Kohanim. The Kohanim, they serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and their role is to bring Rachamim down to the world, and the Rachamim is always expressed in the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. So the rose of Sharoin, number one, is beautiful, it's exquisite, it's beautiful. Number two, and the Kohanim, they are the beauty of Klal Yisrael. Number two, this rose has 13 petals, which means that the role of the Kohanim, to a degree, one of their roles is to bring to this world the Midah of Hashem's Rachamim, the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim. How could it be that they are sitting alone in isolation, they're in Avelis over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash? Now, the Farshim explained that the ones who really suffered the most with the Churban Beis HaMikdash are the Kohanim. Because everyone else, anyone who was not a Kohen, had a job. You work the field, you have cows, you have produce, you have an occupation. The Kohanim had no occupation. The occupation of the Kohanim was one thing only, to serve Hashem. They would study in their cities the laws of Kachim. They would study other things in order to elevate themselves to a high level of Kedusha. And twice a year, they were on duty to come to the Beis HaMikdash to serve the people, to help them, to serve Hashem and help the people. With the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim were out of a job. They were out of a job, not just out of a job, they were out of what they're groomed, what they've been created to do. They, more than anyone else, felt the acute pain of the Churban Beis HaMikdash.
Wait. Even during the Beis HaMikdash, they only served like
twice a week. For the rest of the year, they were in training. Training doesn't just mean to learn the halachas. Training means to be on a very high spiritual level. So when they come twice a year, they should accomplish what they're meant to do. You need to spend a half a year in Kollel to be surrounded in an environment of Torah, to daven with Kavana every Shmona Esrei 3 times a day and to study Bahasmada to elevate your mind, your machshavos. So when you come twice a year to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, when the people come to bring Korbanos, you'll be able to assist them. You'll be able to relate to them and able to help them. If you're running around the whole day, you're running around, you're gambling in Las Vegas in the casino, and now you get a call on your smartphone, you know you're on duty tomorrow in the Beis HaMikdash, what kind of coin is that? He runs in off the plane with a suitcase from Las Vegas, a casino, and you come to the other base to be, oh, carbon, I'm the coin here, let me help you with your carbon. You're a shagetz. I need you to be my kohen. You're the one who needs the carbon, not me. The kohanim have to sit there in the kollel and daven and learn and elevate themselves in kedusha v'tahara the entire year round. In order they should be eligible, they should be able to be poel, should be successful in helping people and coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, in this kina, there are 24 stanzas. Each stanza is dedicated to one of the 24 Mishmoros Sof Kohanim. There were 24 Mishmoros Sof Kohanim that was instituted. It was a process. There was first 8, 16, 24. There were different numbers of Mishmoros in the history of Klal Yisrael. So Ruach HaKodesh, Shmuel Hanavi was the last one to upgrade the number of Mishmoros to 24. And there are 24 Mishmoros. And also there was 24 Mishmoros of Levim. And there were 24 Mishmoros of Yisraelim. Every member of Klal Yisrael was part of a group. And that group also had to come to the Beis HaMikdash once, twice a year. To do what? To daven the entire day in the Ezras Noshim as the korbanos were being offered, to be mispalel to Hashem that Hashem should accept the korbanos. So every single member was really part of the mishmar. In this kingdom, we're focusing specifically on the 24 mishmaros of Koihanim. And here, in each, the end, in the article, it's very good, each one, at the end of each one, they highlight it in bold to tell you the name of that particular mishmar, Moroin, or the Tzipoirim, or Mif Shata, Isolo. These were the names of the Mishmaras. Some of these names are their actual names, and some of the names were not necessarily their name, but it's a reference to the sin that this Mishmar was guilty of committing. Why they were partners in the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So you get the impression, according to some, that the Kohanim were corrupt. Being that we mention many sins, each one of these 24 Mishmaros, we mention sins. Sometimes the sin is attributed specifically, it would appear, to the Kohanim, sometimes not. But it would appear to a certain degree that the Kohanim were also partners in the Korban, because there was a degree of corruption in the institution of the Kohanim. And that is what we come here to eulogize, come to mourn, to lament over the loss, the korban of these individuals. On the other hand, we have to remember, we once spoke about this, is that the Kohanim are really nothing more than our leaders. When we recite Birchos Kohanim on every Yom Tov, how do we go about reciting Birchos Kohanim? The Shliach Tzibur, he says, Yivarechecha, and the Kohanim respond, Yivarechecha. Hashem, Hashem, V'yishmerecha. There are only 15 words. Question, why is it necessary for the Shliach Tzibur to lead them in these 15 words? Why can't the Kohanim memorize the 15 words on their own and recite Birchos Kohanim to the Tzibur? Only 15 words, what's the big deal? We have to have the Shliach Tzibur say Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha. The answer is, if we do not want them to bless us, their blessings are meaningless. A Kohen is only as good as the people who he represents. You cannot succeed in a place where the people who you represent do not want you to succeed. You have to have the backing of the people. If we do not want the Kohanim to succeed, they're not going to succeed. If we do not say to the Kohen, Yivarechecha, then, and the Kohen on his own says Yivarechecha, and we're sitting in shul on our smartphones, texting away, and they're saying, Yivarechecha, guess what? It's a bracha levatola manish. Go to Eretz Yisrael. There, you go to Eretz Yisrael. There, it's during the day, during the weekday. If you're going to sit doing Chazaris HaShatz on the smartphone, and the Kohen was saying, and the Kohen was giving you, you're not getting the bracha, you couldn't care less. You obviously have more important things to do. Why even come to shul? Stay home and text at home. You want to eat, you want to text, so go home, we need you to come to shul. The shliach tzibur who represents us, he says to the kohen, kohen, we want your bracha. We want you to succeed. You represent us. Your bracha is only going to be chal if a bracha if you give us the bracha. Therefore, the shliach tzibur says to the kohen, yivarechecha. And then the kohanim say, yivarecha. When you understand that idea, you come to realize the failure of the kohanim is not their failure. It's our failure. The reason why the kohanim here are suffering so much in this kina, the chumrah of the 24 mishmeres of kohanim, is because we wanted them to fail. They may have been pure tzaddikim, they were in kollel, but Klal Yisrael did not say to them, yivarecha. If we don't want them to succeed, they cannot succeed. The Chorban of the Kohanim is our chait. It's our Chorban. That is one, at least one message of Chavatzeles HaShalayim. Let's now, no, I'm sorry. No questions. Don't ask yet. Page 252. Kino, rub that to Kino Yud Aleph. Kino Yud Aleph is Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu Al Yoshiyahu. And this is the kina of the Baal, the greatest Baal Teshuva movement in the history of Klal Yisrael. This is, many will tell you, the most important kina that we recite on Tisha B'Av, because the kina was actually written by Yirmiyahu Hanavi himself. Who are we eulogizing? Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu. Page 182. By Yekoinim Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was the son of Ochaz, the son of a very very wicked person, and Yoshiyahu unfortunately was himself in the beginning of his life ignorant, and then at some point in time they were doing renovations in the Beis Hamikdash and they discovered Chilkiyahu HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol, discovered the Sefer Torah. And they brought the Sefer Torah to Yoshiyahu. They opened it up, and it was open to the pasuk Yoylech Hashem es Malkucha el Am Asher Lo Yodata. Hashem will take your king. I will take your king, and he will deliver him into exile to a nation that you never heard of before. Yoshiyahu was shaken to the core, and he wanted to understand what is this Sefer Torah? What is this? And he began to study. He began to inquire. He went to the library. There were not too many Talmidei Chacham around to teach him. And one thing led to another. He discovered his heritage. He discovered Yados. He discovered what it means, Moshe Rabbeinu. And one thing led to another. He brought about the greatest Baal Teshuvah movement in the history of Klal Yisrael. It's a tribute to all the people who are involved. This kina is really a very great tribute to all the people today involved in the world of Kirov Rechaikim. They're really following in the ways of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. And he was from the greatest kings in Klal Yisrael. And he was meant for him to be Mashiach. And unfortunately, he made one mistake. The mistake was he did not listen to, and with him, he brought a massive change. In fact, they brought a massive change in Klal Yisrael. What was the mistake he made? Towards some point in his life, there was a request sent in by Paro Necho. He wanted to go to war against the king of Ashur. And they wanted to pass, they wanted air rights. They wanted to fly over Eretz Yisrael to march through the land, passage rights. And Yoshiyahu, he took out the Chumash. He went to the previous Kina. He went to the previous Kina, we read the Torah, and it's V'dasati Sholom Bi'artzichem Afilu Cherev Shel Sholom. It says that in times of Mashiach, no one will pass through the land, an army, even a Cherev Shel Sholom. He felt that the people have reached an exalted level of spirituality, where we are at that point, and he told Paro Necho, you may not enter through the land to go up to the north, to Ashur, to cut to the land to fight the king of Ashur, period. Yirmiyahu said to Yoshiyahu, you're making a grave mistake. The people are fooling you. The people are living double lives. In the outside, in shul, they put on a black hat, and they shuggle, and they daven, they learn daf yomi, and when they go home, and they close the doors, it's a different world. It's a different world. It's a dark world in there. And he didn't believe it. What do you mean? We have inspectors. Can you imagine a person coming into your house today to inspect what goes on in your house? In those days, he had inspectors. But the people were able to fool the inspectors. They cut the slice, the idol in half on the two doors. You close the door, the idol comes together. You open the door, the idol disappears. They had technology, very good technology in those days to pass all the filters, to get by. So he didn't believe it. Yirmiyah says they're living double lives. They're a bunch of hypocrites, these people. Therefore, they're not right for the miracles of Chevel and Savar. Yoshua did not believe him. He told Paranecho, don't you dare come. Paranecho said, I'm coming anyway. He came out, and Yoshio himself went to stop him, and Yoshio was killed. The Paro Necho's army shot into his body 300 arrows. They perforated his body like a sieve, it says. No, he killed himself, Shaul. Shaul committed suicide. He fell with his own sword. So he 300, and Yirmiyah was also on the battlefield, and he ran over to hear his last dying words. And the last dying words of Yoshua were, Tzadik hu Hashem ki pihu marisi. Hashem is a tzadik. I have rebelled against Hashem by not listening to Yirmiyah. I deserve what I got. He was matzdik olav esadin. Yoshua was a very holy, great tzadik. And vayikoinen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. And Yirmiyah himself lamented, he mourned, and Klal Yisrael as well, they mourned. The Chazal say that when he died, it really was meant to be the moment of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. At that moment in time, that's when our enemies should have had the power to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But in reward for eulogizing Yoshiyahu with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, Hashem extended the Zman of the Beis HaMikdash for an additional 22 years. And during that time, we were able to survive because 11 years later, there was the Golis of Yehoyachin, the Choresh v'Hamasker. They set up an infrastructure in Bavel in order for Klal Yisrael to survive. Then came Tzidkiyahu. So we had another 22 years because we properly eulogized Yoshiyahu. There are a lot of lessons to learn from this kina. Number one is the koyach of doing teshuva. Look what he did. He brought on the giant cloud of Yisrael. Number two is the musar of leading a double life. To live one life in public and have another life in private. A frightening, frightening thing. Every person to a certain degree is guilty of this. It's not shaykh for a person not to be guilty of this. The way you bench, the way you eat, the way you conduct yourself when no one is watching is not the way you conduct yourself when people are watching. That's reality. Rabbeinu HaKadosh told this Talmidim, Halavai, you should be afraid of Hashem the same way you're afraid of Basar V'dam. The Talmidim were insulted. That's it? That's it. Halavai, Halavai. You should be afraid of Hashem the way you're afraid of Basar V'dam. It's a powerful Talmidim Musar, and it's because we were fakers. We faked out the melech of Klal Yisrael Yoshiyahu, and that brought about his death. And with his death, and the result was there was a churban. If he would not have died, he could have been the melech HaMashiach. The world would have been a very, very different place, and we brought it about. How do we bring it about? Because in public, we appear to be tzaddikim, and at home, we have a very different approach to life. That's what brought about the churban. Mamish, the direct. And what greater musar do you need than that? Okay, next kina. Kina Yud Beis. Kina Yud Beis is Ohali. We focus on the tent. So there are many different, and Lomo Lanesa, there are many, every kina, there's many different ideas. What I want to focus on over here is the tent. I want to tell you a drush, is it refers to the Noshim Tzidkaniyos. In other words, one of the chaton that we acknowledge on Tisha B'Av is that we have betrayed many people. We betrayed Hashem. We betrayed Moshe Rabbeinu. We betrayed Yoshiyahu. We betrayed the Kohanim. It's all about betrayal. We spoke about the Crusades. We betrayed Shmuel. The whole Kina is all about acknowledging that we have betrayed basically every living creature on this world, including who? The women. Why do I say that we have betrayed the women? The women did not deserve the Churban. The Churban began in Egypt, in the desert, when the Meraglim came back and they issued a slanderous report about Eretz Yisrael. Vayivku ha'om balayla hahu. It says, Beferish and Chazal, the women did not accept the bad report. The women did not cry. The women were happy to go to Eretz Yisrael. They, when it says, Hashem responded, you're crying for nothing. I'm going to make this night into a night of crying for all generations. Abichil l'dayros. That was for the men. So why then, and because it was a bechil l'dayros, it was already predetermined that the bayis would be destroyed. Since the night of Tisha B'Av would be a bechil l'dayros, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed before it was even built. There wasn't a standing chance. But that's only because the men have brought that about. The men are the ones that have caused this to happen, not the women. So why then do the women suffer Churban and all of the tsaros? Because of the men. The men are guilty of having betrayed the women. The women did not deserve it, and the women have to suffer only because of the chait of the men. A tent is a code word for a woman. The Malach says to Avram, Aye Sarah Ishtecha. Where is Sarah? Hine ba'ohel, the tent. She's in the tent. Avram, when they traveled, Vayet Ohaloh, he pitched her tent. Ohaloh, he pitched her tent. The word Ohel always in Chumash is a code word for the Isha. Yitzchak, Vayivyeha Yitzchak Ohelah, Sarah Ima. Why does it say Ohelah? It's the Ohel is always associated with the woman. It's her tent called Kavuda Bas Melech Penima. Now get a load of this. It says by Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Ishtam, Yoishev Oiholim. What does that mean? Rashi, the oil of shame and the oil of base medrashai shel shame, base medrashai shel ever. Pshuto shel mikra means that Yaakov Avinu went to Kollel for 14 years, two different yeshivas. The Kollel shame the ever. 14 years of learning Hashem. But there's a beautiful drush, and the drush is Yaakov Ishtam, Yoishev Oiholim. He absorbed the lessons. He grew up in the ohel of Sarah, his grandmother, and of Rivka, his mother. Sarah, aye Sarah ishtecha, he neighbor ohel. Rivka, vayivyecha yitzchak. She wasn't alive. I don't mean literally lived in her tent because she wasn't alive. Sorry, he never saw Sarah. But I mean over here is her legacy. The legacy of Sarah Imenu carried on down to Yaakov Avinu. Then Vayivyeha Yitzchak Ohela Sarah Imai. The tent of Rivka was really just an extension of the tent of Sarah. Yaakov Avinu grew up in that home. Yaakov was a product of Yitzchak, who was the Ohel of the Yaakov Ishtam Yoishev Oiholim. He was a mother's son. Ever hear that expression? a mama's boy. And also a grandmama's boy. That's what he was. The oil shel Yaakov, he was the first one that we find. He carried the legacy of the Imahos. He took with him. Avram was the first. Yitzchak, it's very interesting. Who is Yitzchak? Yitzchak, he listened to his mother. At the end of the day, the mother won. Yitzchak wanted to give the brachas to Esav. Who was the one that persuaded him? So, you know, to a certain degree, he also was heavily influenced by his mother. She overcame the father. And he listened to her, not to him. Yaakov Avinu was even more. Yaakov Avinu, he was the both tents. He had the tent, Yoishev HaHolim of Rivka and of Sarah. What? He listened to his, what do you mean his wife? Yaakov, the brachas. The brachas. Yaakov Avinu, when he got the brachas, Rivka told him, Shma Bini, I'm sorry, Shma Bini, she told him, you're going to get the brachas, you get the brachas, not Esav. But Yaakov Avinu, he went his Yoishev, Aholim, the two tents. So when we talk about over here, Ohol Yashar Ta'afta, Ashaloi Vereshis, we talk about over here the tent. We focus, the entire kingdom is focusing on the tent. It has to be over here an allusion to what a tent is in Chazal, and it represents the betrayal that man has towards his wife and towards women in general. And in Klal Yisrael, we have betrayal. We always complain, a woman, she's the snake, because she's the one who called Adam a Rishon. Adam, you wanted a woman to come over as a shear? I don't think it would be good if a woman should slip out. A woman, Adam, we always complain that it's Chava who poisoned Adam Harishon. She poisoned him. She gave him from the Eitz Hadas. She brought about death. So we're always complaining, oh, Chava, Chava, look what she did. She brought Chorban. The woman is the source of all evil. Put 5 carats. The man is the source of all evil. It's always the man that's betraying the woman. And it all starts with the Chorban. Every time a woman suffers in this Golus, it's because the man, it's the man's fault. Because the men were the ones who cried, Balayla, who they were Makabal Lashon Hara, it all started with them. And we allude to that, at least to some degree. I'm sure you can find even more references. Look, I'll tell you one more example to prove that I'm right over here. The very last line, Achor Vokedem Mipo Umipo. What does that mean? Front and back. This is an expression that's used to refer to creation of man, Chava. Chava is in the backside. There is the Achor is the back, comes first in this pasuk. The woman's on the back. Vokedem is the front. Mipo Umipo. From this side and that side. There are many expressions over here that are allusions to women. So women, let me find you another one. Okay, there are other allusions over here.
The women over 20 years in the Midbar, they also died as men that were over 20 years.
No, the women did not die. The women did not die in the Midbar. They did not die. They did not dig graves. Only the men. Only the men. Weiter, next. Kina Yigimov. Now we go to Kina Yud Gimel. Now, by the way, Kina Yud Gimel is out of order. Really, the next Kina should be Kina Yud. How do I know? Everyone says the same. How does everyone know that Kina Yud Gimel is in the wrong place? Because if you go to the end of Kina Yud Dalet, what is the last thing of Kina Yud? All the Kinas, they lead one to the other. What does the end of Kina Yud Dalet say? The very last words, a very long Kina Yud Dalet. Roginu lohamir loshan eicha b'loshoin eikoi. All complained. They wanted to transform the word Eicha into a, where is the ko? So the end of Kina Yudal, the end of Eicha. So that means that Yudal should come first, which then leads into Yud Gimel, which is Eicha. Where are the ko's? And we go to the 13 examples of ko's. We have the bracha to Avraham Avinu, Koye Zaracha, the bracha, by the word it says by the Akedah, we have Akud by Yaakov, the Akudim Utludim, Moshe Rabbeinu, he kills the Mitzvah, even Ko Vacho, Birchos Koyhanim, Kois of Rachas Bnei Yisrael, Kois Tamal Livnei Yisrael Yudke Vavke, Ekesh Shalachani Yeschem, Kachatzai Salai. Look, we go through 13 examples of Kois and we complain, where are the Kois? All the kois have disappeared. A koi. And by the way, over here, the Kalir, he takes the word, this is unique, he takes the word Eicha, and he breaks it up into two words, Eiko. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know anything, but I don't think there's any Medrash, I would have come across it over here in the Farshim, that does this, that takes the word Eicha and breaks it into Eiko. But there is a Medrash that does the same thing, takes the word Eicha and breaks it up into oi, l'cha. The word ko, chaf hei, in the Medrash, it's as if there is a silent lamet. And it's not a, don't read the first two letters as a, but it's oi, which means oi, woe, l'cha, woe to you. It's a rachmanis on you. And that's very interesting because we always translate the word Eicha, we are the speaker. Who's the one who's saying Eicha? Almost all the interpretations, we're talking. We're the Balabat, Gaiva, right? We're in charge. And we say, Ribbono shel Olam, Eicha, how? How do you do this? Why? How could this be? Or we say, we break it up, Eicha, we are the Kohs, all the promises you made to us. Generally, in the various translations of the word Eicha, we're the speaker. And when we break, even when we break up the word, we are the speaker, we're making demands of the Ribbono Shel Olam, where is the call? But in the Medrash, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who is speaking. And he's saying to us, Oy Lecha, Oy, woe to you, look what you lost out on. Look what you lost out. Look, Ma hachet goyrein. Look what chet brings to this world. Oy lecha. Stop saying to me, Eikoi. Enough of your demands, your tightness, your complaints. Teveya, always complaining, nothing is ever good enough. Hashem is saying back to us, enough of your complaints. Oy lecha, woe to you. Look what you have done. Look, take responsibility for your behavior, for your actions, and realize what you have done to yourself. Look at the tragedy you've done to yourself. Okay, now let's go further. Okay, there are a lot of things we can talk about. We have to skip over a lot of ideas. Let's go further. Okay, Kina Yudalid talks about the idea that the korban was predicted way in advance. It was predetermined. It's a very hard thing to understand this because this touches upon the concept that we have free will. Man has free will. And if man has free will, so how then can korban be predetermined from Maisa Bereshis? That's one of the paradoxes of Yadus. Hashem knows the future, but yet we still have Bechira Chofshis. This kina touches upon that principle. It tells in this kina over and over that it was predetermined from the very beginning from Maisa Bereshis. Avraham saw, Yitzchak saw, Yaakov saw, Moshe saw. You go through the whole history of Klal Yisrael. Everyone already knew way in advance that there would be a korban. And then, towards the end of the kina, it's a very long kina, it begins to tell us that there's a zman of geula. After we take note, there's going to be a korban. It's also predetermined when Mashiach will come. And towards the end, if you have in the middle of the kina yudalit, tavu. Okay, tavu, tardim leida zman. Tardim means, this refers according to the article, Yaakov's children. They struggled. They wore themselves out in demanding, in trying to figure out the zman when Mashiach will come. Ki legalois kates of zuman, because their father was willing to tell them, hey, asu, v'yagidu lechem eis asha yikreschem yi'acharis hayamim. And at the very end, Yaakov Avinu said, I'm not telling you, the Shekhinah was nostalgic. Toiv mishe gila loikets mizumon. Toiv is a code word for Hashem, the good one, the Ribbono shel Olam. Mishe gila loikets mizumon. After he revealed to Yaakov Avinu the set moment when Mashiach will come, Hosha, he removed the Shekhinah, v'hivlig, it means he held back, the kates come on, and the zman of the coming of Mashiach was hidden from mankind. Yashvu v'sho'alu lo'ov leida, the children begged their father, please tell us when Mashiach is coming. Zman kates ha'pilois, the zman of Mashiach, it's so, the wondrous zman, mosa yisvada, when will Mashiach come? And it goes on to describe these different things. No one knows when it's going to be. Why should go different examples? I just want to point out to you is that throughout the generations, we all know that many Gedolei Yisrael have told us that this is the year of Mashiach. They've made all the magical calculations. They figured out the gematrias. They've seen into the holy secrets. And they tell us when Mashiach will come, and all those zmanim never came to be. And it's not, how can you lie? You know, there's a prohibition to the Megal of the Kates. So the answer given all of the Sfarim is, all the Gedolei Yisrael throughout the generations, when they told Klal Yisrael there are certain Zmanim and Mashiach will come, they never said it will come. They said it's a time to take advantage. It's an Eis Mesugo. It's a good time. According to the calculations, it's a Zman of Rachamim. And the amount of effort and Yegiyah that we need as a nation to bring Mashiach is much less than in ordinary times. In ordinary times, there's a certain threshold of Yegiyah that we have to reach in order that we should be deserving for Mashiach to come. But during a Zman, an Eis Ratzon, the threshold is very low. It's so easy. Just do a little Teshuvah, Mashiach's going to come. But Chaval, even that, unfortunately, we squandered those opportunities and Mashiach never came. I just want to point out to you that this year, there's a minute, it's brought down in many different places and different parts, of the minute that you're supposed to say every single year at the Kinois or at the Sudas HaMafsekes or some actually, and one of the Kinois in Kina Chofches, the Kina of the Dal Malchios, you're supposed to adjust it to the exact number of years since the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. How many years has it been since the Churban Beis HaMikdash? This year, it's 1,948 years. We have 1948. We have a tradition. No one really knows for sure that the Churban took place in the year 70. Open up all of the history books. They'll tell you 70 BCE. 70 CE, so it's a common era. 70 CE, the year 70 of the common era, which we're now holding in 2018 of the common era. So 2018 minus 70 is 1,948. In Seder Olam, which is a history of the world, an ancient Midrashic history of the world, it says clear as day that Avraham Avinu was born in the year of 1948. Chazal tell us, Mishenivre ha'olam, from the time the world was created, Lo haya Adam shekira'oi lehakadosh baruch hu odoin at sheba Avraham. There was no one in the world from the time the world was created until that called Hashem by the term Adoin, the master, until Avraham Avinu came into this world and was Makir the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay? It took 1,948 years from the Briyas HaOlam until a man was born who had the koyach to be Makir the Ribbono Shel Olam. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the world was destroyed. That's the first word of Kinos. Yeah, Shavas. The first word of Kinos. The world came to an end. It's over. All the Kinos, they say that in many ways. It was over. The whole world came to an end. So what happened? Start again. And in fact, the Minhag Yisrael was, and I don't know when it stopped, when you date a document, you go to a wedding, instead of them saying it's Chamesh Alofim, V'Sheva Meos, This is modern. We're modern people. That's not the Minhag Yisrael. The Minhag Yisrael was to date the Shtarais from the Churban Haaretz, from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That was tradition. They would date, it's what they should really say by a wedding. You go to a wedding, they say, it's 1,948 years since the Churban. On the middle of Adar, whatever it is. That's the way it was done traditionally. For some reason, I do not know, it changed. Instead of focusing on the Churban, we focus on the Briyas HaOlam. When the Churban occurred, the world came to an end. We're now living in a new world. We're living in a second edition of this world. And history repeats itself. Time goes in cycles. That's what we'd see, 7 days, a year. Time goes in cycles. This year is an ace misuga. There's no question about it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Look, even look in the world, what happened with Yerushalayim this year. Well, you're going to make light of it? You're just going to ignore it? You can't ignore it. Avraham Avinu, it's 1,948 years. History repeats itself. There are cycles in this world. It's the Zman of the latest Avraham. We're now holding in the year of the Leida Savram. What is the koyach of Leida Savram? Lo haya Adam be'olam, the ganz mishnivre olam, at shebo Avraham shekiroi, who called the Ribbono Shel Olam the word Adoin. What does Adoin mean? In the Torah it says Yud Kei Vav Kei. Ushmi Hashem lo nedati Yud Kei Vav. How do we pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei? Adoin. Aleph, Dalid, Nun, Yud. What does Adoin mean? What's the Perish Rashi on the word Adoin? Ze Shmi li Olam, v'ze Zichri l'dar dar. The Shmi is Yud Kei Vav Kei, Zichri. Zichri means the remembrance, the acknowledgement of existence for all generations. The Ribbono Shel Olam was there for 1,948 years. I mean, he created it. It's his world. No denying the fact. It's his world. He's there. Right? Zeh Shemi. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need us to acknowledge his name. He exists. What was unique about Avraham Avinu was, I'm not calling you anymore Yudke Vavke. No more Yudke Vavkes. Because Yudke Vavke, that means what you're doing, what you are in Shemayim. We got to bring you down to this world. Zesh Shemili Olam. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yudke Vavke is the letters. And let me teach you how to pronounce it. The way you pronounce it is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Adoin, with the expression of Adoin. And Hashem, and that means Zichri. Zichri means it's in your mind. Hashem is no more in Shemayim. Hashem is within you. Avraham Avinu brought into this world the recognition of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is this year. This year is an incredible year. It's an ace misugal of Zezichri Lidardar, the beginning of a new world. That's the Skina. This Skina is all about, we just read, Kilegalois Kates of Zuman. Yaakov was willing to tell this drasha that I just told you to his children. But it didn't happen. But we know it. We're here. We're here today. So we know it. It's no secret. The numbers are here. It's a powerful kina. That's what it's all about. It's a zman misugal. Okay, one more. I'm not doing this kina, so don't want to have to worry about it. The next kina, anyone who knows what it says in this kina, I bow down to you. The next kina is everyone's favorite kina to skip. Okay? It's everyone's next kina tezvav. It's everyone's favorite kina. It's massively long. The Aleph Beis is repeated 10 times. 10 times. It's massive. The general theme is it's a collection of ideas. It's a collection of ideas expressing the tsar of the Churban, that we are responsible. And it's it basically stitches together in a very sophisticated way a Megillas Eicha, all of the Parakim, and the Toichacha. It merges two things together. The Toichacha and Megillas. Before we had the Toichacha, we had the Megillas Eicha, we had the Toichacha. Here we have Megillas Eicha, all 5 Parakim, by the way. No, we're not gonna get lenient. And some will repeat a few, no skipping. The 5 parakim of Eicha with the Teicha, it's blended together in a very sophisticated way with the Aleph Beis overlapping in many ways and drawing words from here and there. It's heavy-duty stuff, and it expresses many ideas. Is there a central theme? Hard to really put your finger on the theme. It's very hard. It's very, very long. And in the places where they do not recite all 45 kinais, I guarantee you they're not reciting this one. Okay, like I told you, it's everyone's favorite one to skip. I don't think I always skip this. Like I guess it's just too much for me. Okay, we're up to Kina Tess. I think what we're going to do tomorrow is as well. Tomorrow, instead of doing Nach, we're going to do tomorrow at 9:30 on the dot. Lee Nether, I have to be here on time myself. We're going to do Kinois. We'll spend about an hour finishing up the Kinois. We'll just run through the rest in 1 hour, and then we'll learn Chumash like we normally do. Have a wonderful day.
What did you get that 1948 thing? You made it up? I mean, I like it. Amen.